What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Holistic Nootropics Podcast, where we discuss holistic, lifestyle-based cognitive enhancement. My name is Eric. I'm a functional nutritional therapy practitioner and the founder of HolisticNootropics.com. And today on the podcast, I want to go deep. You heard? I want to go deep, and I want to talk about getting into the mind, getting deep into the weeds of the jungle of the mind. I want to talk about getting up in there, be it through holistic means or be it through means of not whole. I don't know. I want to talk about getting deep in your brain and what the best way to do that is. And there's really, in my opinion, there's a number of routes, but you have two camps, right? You got the camp of the holistic route, right? You got the old yoga and meditation. People get deep into the mind. People, the big thing is mindfulness, and people using the mindfulness now to get deep into the mind. And there's a lot of science coming out that explores and discusses the benefits of using meditation and yoga practices and mindfulness, and even things like binaural beats and all kinds of guided meditations and sound therapy and all this stuff to get into the mind. But then you also got the other camp of the psychedelics. And psychedelics are fairly gnarly. Is there a more square way of saying they're fairly gnarly? They're very gnarly. I've experimented with psychedelics. I'm not, I'm not a psychonaut, as some of these people are called. I don't have, extensive, a long history of using like a ton of LSD. I've never done acid. I've never done LSD. I've done mushrooms, and I've done MDMA once, and I've never done ketamine, and I've smoked a lot of weed. And that's about the extent of my personal drug history. But I have done a ton of yoga. I've done a ton of meditation. I've done, my fair share of binaural beats. I've gotten deep into binaural beats. I've done the sound therapy. I love that stuff, right? And I feel like I can speak to both sides of this argument. Now, I should say I can speak to both sides of the argument without feeling like I am biased towards one side, but I can speak fairly about the side that I'm not biased for in terms of not really hating. I can empathize with the psychedelic side because I've been there. And I find it interesting that, sometimes it comes down to this argument of what's better, right? Because what you have is you have this kind of, what would you say, like a Venn diagram of the two, right? You have like the yoga, meditation, mindfulness world, and then you have the psychedelics world. And then there is that middle ground where there are people who do both. I know people who will take, mushrooms and meditate, which is an effective therapy. In fact, they have the MAPS Foundation, and they have these different research organizations now that are really studying the effects of psilocybin and MDMA and ketamine on the brain. And they do take these people through some different meditations. But, what I find is the problem with the psychedelics is they're party drugs. And even if you do this thing where you're like, well, no, I don't, I'm not like doing it to party. I'm just doing it to like take some mushrooms, go out in the woods and connect with nature. Like, I get that, like that's my jam for sure. Like, I like a good mushroom trip out in nature. I think it's necessary. I think it's good. But, to do it often, I think takes away from the point of it. It's a hack. I mean, it's a real hack in the most purest form of the word, because literally there's no way that you can take magic mushrooms and not have, a profound experience, And the problem is you get a lot of people who take the mushrooms and then they go to like a party. I can't even imagine doing mushrooms and being at a party, or being in a nightclub. Holy cow. That would just freak me out. And that's just like the worst way to use that tool, because that's when you think about like where these substances come from, I mean, they're tools, scientists who have distilled these chemicals down to their most purest form, did them to be used as a tool. And then essentially what's happening is they're taken and they're sold to people to be used in a party type fashion. And again, I'm not here to judge. If you do that, you do that. That's your life. Do it. Be happy. Whatever. But, you know, my point is that you're missing the bigger picture of what these substances are for, which is to connect to a part of your consciousness that is hidden from you, but functions at a subconscious level that is a program running throughout your day that you don't even know is running until you use those substances, and then you start to discover this different part of your brain. You know, sometimes, you know, the last time I did mushrooms, it was a profound experience. I was in the middle of the jungle, and it was like looking out, and it was like everything. I'd never experienced it like this before, but it was like visually, everything had kind of broken down into literally a matrix. And, you know, I was connecting with the objects in my surrounding, the trees, the mountains, the air, all of it was just, it was profound. And I was just thinking about these processes in my life and in my mind. And, you know, anytime I've done mushrooms, I've had an experience like that where you say things and you think things and you're like, where'd that come from? And you realize it's a thing that's been in your brain the whole time, but because you are so overwhelmed with just the here and now, you can't access that stuff, right? And it's hard for people to access that stuff. And this is why I don't really throw the weed into this psychedelic thing. I mean, weed is not a psychedelic, but, you know, people will use weed to get a kind of psychedelic experience. And it's really not, because what weed does is, yes, it will access a part of your brain and a part of your consciousness too, but not to the extent that a psychedelic will. A psychedelic is like, it's like a gold miner, you know, like it goes into your brain and just starts picking away at these parts of your brain that you totally just didn't even realize was there. But, you know, the body keeps score. I was interviewing somebody on a podcast. I think it was Dr. Yulia Brockdorf, who was reading a book or mentioned a book called The Body Keeps Score. And that's what happens. You know, it's such a great encapsulation of the subconscious, because your body's keeping score of everything that happens in your life, all of the experiences, all of the good, the bad, and especially it grooves down on the bad, on the trauma, and then you start these habits, and it builds your personality, and it builds these operating systems in you that over time it just becomes like a groove in your brain, and you just ride it over and over again every single day. It's like you take the same route to work every single day, and, you know, when you get to work, you do the same thing. You put your stuff at your desk, you go make a coffee, you sit down, you say hi to the same people in the same order every day, Monday through Friday. You typically bring the same thing to lunch. Monday has a thing, Tuesday has a thing, Wednesday has a thing, Thursday has a thing, Friday has a thing, your weekend are the same. It's just the same thing going on in your brain. It's the constant program being run. And then sometimes what happens is when you take a psychedelic, you see the program and you start to understand, like, whoa, okay, I totally forgot about that thing. You know, you say a thing, you're like, where'd that come from? Right? Especially if you're doing it, if you're with people. And that's why I like to do like mushrooms with a person or two who, you know, they're close friends. I trust them. You know, you can have a good time. And it just, you know, because when you're having a good time, and I'm not talking like, you know, you're doing more drugs and you're drinking beer and you do whatever it is, you know, but you're having a good time and you feel comfortable talking and you can laugh and you can truly get into a parasympathetic state where your brain starts accessing all of those neural networks that you just don't have access to in your daily life, and you can start to explore. And that's why it's such a powerful tool. But like any tool, I mean, you could wear down the effectiveness of the tool, which is why it's such a bad thing to do in like a party atmosphere, you know, because in like a party atmosphere, you don't have the space, you don't have the freedom, and you're around people that could really hamper the experience. You know, you have to be free to really connect to objects and to connect to space and to connect to other living things. You know, I remember one time I did mushrooms. I was in the middle of the desert. It was one of the first times I did it. I was living in Arizona, and I had a conversation with a cactus for like 25 minutes. And it was bonkers. Like I was in my mind, I'm like, this is weird. But at the same time, it felt right. It felt like I was like having a conversation with a life form, you know, like I saw the inherent life in this thing because, you know, a plant is living. But on the other side, you know, this is a thing because I've done so much yoga and meditation in the last, decade pretty much, you know, is that over time, I've begun to take that same tool that I access in psychedelic use, and I've begun to be able to harness that power, albeit at a much slower pace. But that's also kind of part of the magic of yoga and meditation, which is it's the practice of it. And the practice is what helps you connect. You know, when you really open yourself up to the spiritual side, like if you sit down and you try to meditate, you're like, I'm just going to meditate. I'm just going to meditate because it's relaxing. You're never going to get that spiritual benefit. But when you focus your mind, when you quiet your mind, I mean, you do start to access those different neural networks and you start to get that same kind of psychedelic experience in that you start to remember things that you haven't thought about for a long time. You start to get a focus in your life that through your day will start to expose more answers and more questions that you have that you know that you've needed answers to. You just haven't known how to ask the right question. And, you know, yoga is great for this too, because I mean, I don't know really the science of yoga, but there is something to be said about challenging your body and essentially delivering oxygen and creating a space where, you know, you control your breath in these difficult positions. And you have to find balance, you have to find stillness, you have to find quiet in order to achieve these different poses, you know? When you first start yoga, if you're like me, I mean, you're just a bow-legged, you know, tight, you know, jagged, weird, you know, uneven, unbalanced thing, right? But then over time, when you commit to the practice, and I'll be honest, if you're not into yoga, it could be torture at times. But then it's like you do it enough and you start to really kind of see that next level of it. And you start to see like, oh, I get it. This is why, you know, dudes go in with man buns and, you know, people talk quiet to each other and everybody's like, you know, starts going vegan and we all care about, you know, earthworms and stuff, right? Because you start to connect to the nature of yourself and the world, and you start to feel these different, again, these different questions and these different answers, and you start getting deep into the mind, and it's an amazing experience. And the best part about the experience is it doesn't come with any side effects. You know, you don't like with MDMA. It's like you can do it, and then the next day your brain might just be mush. Or mushrooms too. Like you might do mushrooms and the next day your brain is just mush. Like they both can be such profound experiences that after you do them, you just feel like it's such a profound thing that you just need to kind of withdraw a little bit. And I've seen this with people around me, you know, it's like, I don't know anybody who can just do MDMA, you know, 2-3 days in a row. I mean, granted you might, you know, I'm sure you can go to places, you know, I'm sure you go to Ibiza or Cancun or Miami or New York. And, you know, you can see people who do this stuff all the time. But they're not happy, you know, that's not a healthy habit to have. But you can do yoga every day. You can do yoga for hours every day. You can meditate every single day. I mean, there's people who do, you know, week-long meditation retreats. I've done a 5-day meditation retreat. You know, people will do week-long silent meditation retreats, and draw just incredible, profound experiences from that. The meditation retreat I did, I went to India, and for 5 days, it was intense. But it was amazing. And I will say there were moments that I was there that it felt as powerful as, you know, as I've experienced on a mushroom trip. So, you know, I bring this topic up because, you know, when we sit here in the nootropic space and we're wondering, like really, what is the point of nootropics? Like, what is the point of biohacking? The point is not just to be healthy, but it's to explore your own consciousness. It's to find a place to really optimize your brain, and you can't begin to optimize your brain until you really understand your brain, until you really understand yourself. And it's not as easy as just, well, I'm going to take some mushrooms and, man, I'm going to understand myself. It's so much more complicated than that. And I, you know, one thing that really drives me crazy in the nootropic space is that, you know, we're always trying to find a new nootropic. We're trying to find a new stack. We're trying to, you know, put together all these different things because we think that 1 + 1 = 2, right? We think that if we take L-tyrosine, then that's going to give us more dopamine, so we're going to feel better. But, you know, it doesn't work like that. You can take L-tyrosine and it can get hijacked by gut bacteria and it could turn toxic and it could lead to an excessive amount of dopamine, and dopamine can turn toxic. You can take tryptophan and tryptophan can get hijacked by gut bacteria and get sent down the quinolytic pathway and become toxic, you know? Same thing for all these amino acids. Same thing for all of the racetams, you know? You could take too much of one racetam and just start feeling more anxiety. You can get the get a kind of a complete drain of your serotonin, and, you know, you could take 5-HTP and have serotonin syndrome, which is even worse than not having enough serotonin. So this is why I truly believe in the holistic model, because, you know, you can't meditate for 30 minutes and then feel drained. You can't feel depressed after you do yoga for an hour and 15 minutes. You might feel sweaty and tired, but you're going to feel amazing. So am I saying that, you know, you should never do psychedelics? Not at all. I think psychedelics are great. I think they should just be done in such moderation and with such purpose that when you do them, you know, it's almost like you can write a book on the experience, because that's what they're really for. If you're just doing mushrooms and you're going out to a club, I mean, geez, like, I think you have to reevaluate, you know, what you're trying to accomplish in life, right? Just get drunk, you know, just, I hate to say it, but just do some coke. Don't waste a mushroom trip. You know, by the way, don't do coke. Don't do any of that shit, right? That stuff's terrible. But my point is that also don't waste mushrooms and MDMA and ketamine on the party, because now we're finding out that these substances are so powerful that they can help war veterans who have watched people around them have their heads blown off. These substances can help these people essentially recover from suicidal PTSD. That's how powerful these substances are. And they can be magical for you too. But if they're abused, you know, not only do you lose, but then if you do something and you fuck up the situation, it doesn't look good for the whole community of people who are using psychedelics for the right reasons. So use your psychedelics responsibly, but also if you are in that camp of wanting to use psychedelics, also explore the meditation and the yoga. So that's all I got for you today. This was one that, you know, just kind of popped in my head and I was like, I want to explore this on a podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Let me know what you think. If you enjoyed the podcast, remember to subscribe, leave a comment if you did, or leave a review if you did enjoy. A nice review is always good. And for more, head on over to holisticnootropics.com. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. I'll catch you in the next podcast. Peace.